going on, y'all? Welcome back, OTB. Why the fuck?
What? Like, what?
I mean, I'm going to tweet out the link. Why is it making me sign into X again? Okay, I got it. What's up, y'all? Welcome to OTB. What did I say, OTB?
Why are you saying app? OTB? Holy
Because
smoke.
I'm confused because I'm trying to tweet out the link and some crap happened. We're good. What's up? This is Snaps CFB.
There you go.
Your favorite college football podcast. OTB is my radio show. I was with Jake Hester. My brain is still not working. If you watch yesterday's show, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I am excited about today's show. And I think we have a really good show planned for your day. We're going to do a lot of draft talk as we are a couple of days away from the NFL draft. And, I got a few different angles that I want to get into here, but first, welcome back, Aaron. How did the charity golf tournament go yesterday?
I mean, that could have been the best intro for a show that I've ever been a part of. One, mess up the Shut name. Up. Two, we think we have a good show for you today.
Yeah.
We have a great show for you today. We are locked. We're loaded.
Hello.
I'm feeling good.
If you say you have a great show every time, then how the fuck am I supposed to trust you? Right? Like,
because what, we do every have
show,
a great show.
Every show is going to be great. There's just never an off day.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Maybe so.
No off days besides yesterday, but the tournament did go well. We did not win, but I did play my part and they used a bunch of my shots. So I was happy about that. Short game was great. The driver was shit. I couldn't hit a driver to save my life. Which is unfortunate, but 120 yards in, I was just dialed in, which when you're part of a scramble, that's all you really need to be, you know, as long as you have one good drive.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you should be able to find one good drive between the crew. Yeah. Ryan Smith, T-Bob was Civil War with the price of admission. Yeah, I would say absolutely. But you got to know, I'm an Alex Garland fanboy, that's a director. He's the guy that directed Ex Machina, Annihilation. He also wrote a couple of good movies I wasn't aware of. He did some FX show too. I like, so whatever. I like that guy. That said, Civil War, the movie, not exactly what I expected. Doesn't really get into the politics of the world that much. It really just follows this like war photojournalist. And I think it's excellent. I would say see it in theaters though, because the sound design is fantastic. Like really, really great. And it'll kind of blow you away. Emil says Ex Machina or Annihilation. I'll take Ex Machina. It feels maybe a bit less cutting edge now because a lot of the stuff that it was predicting we're like currently living in. But like in 2012 or whenever I saw Ex Machina for the first time, it fucking blew my mind. Dude, I thought it was like the most forward-thinking thing ever, only now it just feels like everything that's happening. Aaron, have you ever seen Ex Machina?
Yes. Yeah.
Good movie.
Long time ago. Very good movie.
I know you. You probably love that Asian robot girl, didn't you?
You know I like them Asians.
Yeah. He can
if you
that,
also like Asians, wife. Please like the show.
Chance Babin, strive for great shows daily, but don't promise. Exactly. So I've always lived my life. Under promise and over deliver, right? Mm-hmm. Set expectations low. And then people are like, oh shit, actually look at this guy. He's all right. So that's how it goes. All right. So today, topics we're going to explore is Jaden Daniels trying to tank his way out of Washington. Who is the best wide receiver in the draft? And I think we have an interesting twist there.
Yep.
Why no running backs will go in the top two rounds? How many quarterbacks will go in the first round? Biggest bust potential, safest player in the draft, and maybe some others if we have time for them. Aaron, let's go ahead and dive. Oh, and by the way, guys, youtube.com/snapscfb_. If you want to help spread the show, you can hit the like button, subscribe 15.2. We love to see it, guys. And if you're listening, if you've been wondering where the audio podcast is, that process of switching it over is a bit slower than I thought, but I have a batch. My screens went black. Am I still on?
You're on.
Okay. But I have a batch of episodes that should be going up today. I'm not on.
No, you're just frozen with your mouth open. Audio sounds good.
You can still hear me.
I can still hear you, but you're just like.
My computer has decided to tell me that it has no display.
That's
and now my screen's going black. I mean, should I just do
Yep, you should probably restart. So we're going to take T-Bob off until he can figure out what's going on. Let's jump into it. And the first topic, obviously, is the quarterback position. This is something that obviously we love T-Bob's thoughts, and we'll get it for him. But kind of runs into my area of expertise, we'll like to call it. So projected top three quarterbacks will go 1, 2, 3 in the NFL draft here in a couple nights. I think it's going to be Caleb 1, Jaden 2, and then Drake May 3. You ask a lot of people. Some people have it very differently. Some people have Jaden going 1, Caleb going 2, Drake 3. Some people obviously have Caleb 1, Drake 2, Jaden 3, which I think is probably the third of all the scenarios that could happen. I'll start with this. Would I be surprised if Jaden went 1? And I wouldn't. I honestly wouldn't. I think if you want to obviously base it off 1 year last year of how we're going to draft the guys, Jaden had the far superior season. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was magnificent throwing the football down the field. He was electric running the football. There's a lot of traits that you look at Jaden Daniels compared to Caleb Williams. You say, you know what? I really like that. And if you're an NFL team, look at them and say, I like Jaden's speed. I like the athleticism. I like the deep ball accuracy. Then maybe Jaden is your guy. And I know there's a lot of people, and I've hit on this before, and I'm not trying to make this as an excuse of why not to draft Jaden first overall, but they say better offensive line, better weapons. All these things played into his progression a year ago from seeing how he matured as a quarterback. I'll go to what I've said, you know, about Jaden when it comes to what I saw in spring practice a year ago. He just got better as a quarterback, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, we can say it's the offensive line. Yeah, we can say it's elite receiving play, and you're going to see two, you know, receivers drafted at LSU, possibly in the first round, you know, multiple in the top two or three rounds of the NFL draft. Like, you can say all that. But he just got better. He became a better passing quarterback from his first year at LSU to his second year. That coaching staff did wonders of putting him in situations and forcing him to get more comfortable throwing the daggers, the corners, the go balls, the post routes. So can he make all the NFL throws? Yes. Can he do it at a very high level? Not just mediocre of like, okay, you put him in a combine situation versus all 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, like where would he end up? I think he'd be in the top half. I think he has exceptional arm strength. I think he throws with tremendous anticipation. I think he has incredible deep ball accuracy and touch. So he is really good, if not elite, at a lot of things throwing the football. And then you throw in the fact that he is 4-4 caliber, electric running the football. Obviously has to take care of himself a little bit better when it comes to not just getting his block knocked off when he runs the football. But if he went 1, if there was this big surprise and it's not Caleb Williams going 1, it's Jaden Daniels, I would be a tiny bit surprised, but I would say this makes sense. When you look at the game today and what he's done and what he's put on tape, I'd be perfectly comfortable saying Jaden Daniels, number one quarterback in the NFL draft. Do I think that's going to happen? No, T-Bob. I don't think Jaden goes 1, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Chicago does get him.
All right. So I don't know what the hell that was. Everything decided to shut down. Fingers crossed it didn't happen again. Okay. So, yeah, Jaden's not going to go number 1. He'll probably go number 2 to the Washington Commanders. However, on the final day of visit day, Washington decided to host not just Jaden Daniels, but all the top 4 quarterbacks. And the reports coming out of it is that Jaden Daniels' camp was none too happy. In fact, like Mike Florio had a tweet criticizing the Commanders for doing this, talking about how it's weird. Like, why wouldn't you want to spend more time with the one guy that you're planning on drafting? And Jaden Daniels' agent was out here liking those tweets. He liked a couple other ones critical of the Commanders as well. And so it does beg the question, is Jaden Daniels trying to force his way out of Washington? And to be fair, after the story started kind of to gain legs, Jaden went on Nightcap with Unc and Ocho, and he actually said that, look, he's no problem with Washington. They got some dogs. He got some great weapons. He said all the right things. Still, there are persisting rumors that his camp would not want to land in Washington, and I kind of understand it, right? Because so often, and really this is how I almost end up basing all of my draft coverage, is less on breaking down the player and almost more, especially in this first round, right? Yep. More on, okay, where will they land, right? Because if you land in Chicago, I mean, there are red flags. They've been very bad,
right?
But they seem to have good weapons.
When's the last time Chicago had like a legit quarterback? I mean, they've never had one. I mean, honestly, I think the best position is going three to New England. You know, you have an owner in Robert Kraft who has, you know, has obviously won championships. I know it's going to be a new head coach this year, but the resources are at least there, you know? And I think that's a big thing too, you know, for me being on a few NFL teams and talking with buddies on NFL teams too, there is a difference of which NFL owner just likes the thought of being an NFL owner and which NFL owner actually wants to put in money and resources to give those players an opportunity to win. And of the three, New England's best, by far the best location.
See, so that's kind of interesting because I don't know that I agree necessarily. Now, look, I think, okay.
Where would you want to end up?
I think Minnesota.
Chicago, Washington, New England.
I think Minnesota right now is the best landing spot. With O'Connell as your coach,
Jordan Everson.
This is assuming Minnesota is going to trade up to five, probably move to the Chargers somewhere around there, right?
Let's just say the top three right now: Chicago, Washington, New England. Where do you want to go if you're a quarterback?
So we are on the same page there, right? That's what kind of kicked this all off in my head was thinking Washington feels like the worst option. Like at least in Chicago, yes, you've never had quarterback success there, but they have been a very successful franchise and they are committed, super committed to trying to be good and figuring it out. They seem to be making a ton of moves to promote the quarterback position for whatever reason. It just hasn't worked yet.
Quarterbacks and within 2 or 3 years, the past two picks.
Yeah. But I mean, they didn't hit their guys, but I mean, but then the other choice is, like Washington, I would think is traditionally the absolute worst because that's a joke of a franchise.
New ownership though, at least. I mean, they're it's better than it was when say RG3 got drafted.
So I agree because they got new ownership, Dan Snyder's out of there. And although I feel like Washington should be worse, they do have the best weapons out of anybody with Terry McLaurin and company. And see, that's the problem with New England is like, I believe in New England as a franchise. And I'm even more excited by Gerard Mayo being the head coach there than I am Dan Quinn at Washington. But where's the roster for New England right now? Like that's what I'm wondering because it feels like Chicago and Washington would both have better weapons to set you up as a rookie quarterback than would New England.
You know what's crazy is under the old regime in New England, I mean it's a grind. I mean Tom Brady said it before, every player from Gronk to Edelman talked about, you know, what their days were like. And listen, being part of the NFL, it's a glamorous lifestyle, but it should be difficult. If you want to win championships, just like anything in life, you got to put the work in. And Belichick really made sure that those guys were in early, stayed there late. There are some coaches that aren't like that and some that are a little bit, you know, more lenient with your time and allowing coaches to spend more time with their kids, yada, yada, yada. It's like, but it's a grind. Like everyone knew, like New England almost felt like being at, say, an Alabama or a Georgia, where it was football, 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 and that was your life. And that, for some people, that's a turnoff. So I do wonder if now, and I'm not saying like it's obviously going to be like easy street in New England when it comes to being an NFL player, but if it's not as grueling as it was previously, could this make it a little bit more attractive to possibly get better skill to help a quarterback mature?
Yeah, look, I, again, it's a tough thing because franchise-wise, as an organization, no one's had more success than New England has. Franchise-wise, Chicago's had success. And in fact, and even in terms of recent success, now Chicago's had a bad few years here. Yeah. But even when you look at like the last 20 years, Washington is not even close to these other two. But the more I kind of talk this out, I mean, with the new ownership, with Terry McLaurin, with Cliff Kingsbury being the OC, like maybe the commie landing spot's a bit better than I think. So you would take New England overall.
What did Cliff do with Murray in Arizona?
I think that's as much of a Kyler Murray problem as it is anything else.
A little bit.
I have heard.
I'm just saying, like, Cliff's track record in the NFL isn't anything beautiful to look at. And hell, his offenses were great in college football, but it's not like he was winning a lot of games either. Like, are we putting too much on the fact that it's Cliff Kingsbury and we like the name and we forget? Because you're the biggest track record person of them all. Like, if there's anyone wants to look at the nitty gritty, you're the one that's always saying, like, what have they done? What have they done? What has Cliff Kingsbury done would get me excited?
But he's because he's an OC. He's not a head coach. He doesn't have a head coaching resume that you should write home about, but his offensive resume remains good. Like, Kyler was putting up numbers. They just collapsed at the end of every season. And in terms of Kyler Murray, I have a little bit of insight there. I got a little Arizona connection. And I basically heard that everything you kind of think about Kyler Murray being a little like, you know, maybe a little nose in the air, not really one of the boys, not really. Like, I've heard that's basically true.
Yeah.
And so, no, I, God, this seems crazy because my entire idea at first was that Jaden was trying to get out of Washington and get into New England. Mm-hmm. And I know Mayo loves him. I know he'd really probably want to go to the Raiders, but that's not going to happen. But I don't know, man. Now that we've talked it out with me, you, and chat, I'm kind of feel like maybe Washington's the most – well, maybe it's actually the place to have the most immediate success.
I don't know. I still go with Chicago. I mean,
Sam Howell last year through – oh, wait, I thought you said New England. You still go with Chicago or New England?
No, I would say maybe for long-term success. You know, I think there's a bet. There's more stability in my mind in New England. And listen, we'll find out with the new head coach. But like, I think immediate success. You know, you kind of pop off year one. I think at least Chicago is giving it a damn good opportunity with the weapons they brought in. You know, I would think if you walk into a situation that like, what is Jaden used to? Jaden's used to elite receiving play on the outside and a really good offensive line. And I really don't know like the dynamics of Chicago's offensive line, but I do know they have great weapons on the outside. Like there was a conscious effort to say, we're not going to screw up another quarterback. We're not going to go three straight quarterbacks that we can't turn into a legit 10 plus year franchise guy. Where have we made mistakes in the past? Well, we haven't had consistency on the outside. So we're going to make sure we have the weapons around our QB for him to jump in and have success year one. So like I could see, you know, Caleb, if he does go one into Chicago, having success year one, but does that translate to a 10-year career, you know, at that same place? Well, I think New England, you may have that little bit more of that security there.
I think in Chicago, it could, though. I mean, I view Chicago and New England not wholly dissimilar. It's just that one hit on Tom Brady and one didn't. I mean, Chicago found their way to Super Bowls with Rex Grossman and to threaten Super Bowls with, like, a pretty good – Jay Cutler. I mean, they've made playoffs with awful quarterback play. So all of a sudden, if you give them good quarterback play, like Chicago seems like they kind of have everything else figured out. But let's take Chicago out of it because Caleb Williams is going one overall, right? Like that's how you started this whole thing.
I think he is. No, I did start off, you know, I do think that there's a lot of, not a lot of momentum, but there's a decent amount of discussion around Jaden going one. And I mean, frankly, would you be surprised? Like I started off when you were kind of figuring out your thing. I wouldn't be surprised. I think there's a lot of really good elite traits for Jaden where most drafts he would be number one overall. So like, if the Bears say, like, we want the guy that's more athletic, we want the guy that runs a 4-4, the guy that can push the ball vertically down the field, Jaden checks off all those boxes on tape. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But would I be surprised if all of a sudden we hear – you know, Thursday night, you know, the Chicago Bears select Jaden Daniels. No, I think there's a 15% chance it happens.
Okay, so then let's take him out of it because 15 is basically none. So simple choice, Washington or New England, which is a better landing spot to be a rookie quarterback? Because we'll get into biggest bust. And again, the biggest bust will be a quarterback because it has to be. Yeah. They have the most pressure on them. They can most easily affect the game. They're most thrust into the line of fire where everybody can see it. Like it's just always going to be a quarterback because of how the game of football works. And so situation means everything. You're Aaron Murray. You're trying to make the NFL. Where would you want to land Thursday night between those two teams?
Probably New England.
That seems crazy to me when you have Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin in Washington and Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think I can agree. And you know, it's funny. I think I was actually with you there before I started this conversation, but now that we've talked it out and I've thought about it with Chad and everything, I've changed my mind. And I actually think Washington's the better landing spot, especially now that Dan Snyder's gone.
Nope. I'm going to go New England. I'm going to go the team that's won more Super Bowls than anyone else
in 2 decades. Don't do this bullshit. Tom Brady won him, bro. What had happened when Tom Brady left New England? He went straight and won another Super Bowl.
Where would you put Kraft and NFL owners?
I think it's impossible to say. I mean, he's out here spiking Bill Belichick deals because he's salty about how things ended with him. Like, I don't know, man. I don't think it's 100% clear how good Kraft is. Like, you got to do it with multiple different regimes. You got to do it with multiple different quarterbacks if you want me to feel that you're like going to be better than any other owner that would have been with Tom Brady. I mean, did the Bucs owner suddenly become a lot better?
That was one year. I mean, they still did it over multiple decades. This is,
I'm not saying Bob Kraft is nothing, but I'm also not going to give this currently New England team, like, I'll give the Bears more credit for what they did finding wins with all this shitty quarterback play over 20 years than what New England did finding wins with the best player maybe in all of sports, like all of American sports for sure. Like, so no, give me Washington actually, but it doesn't matter because I think whoever lands in Minnesota is actually going to be set up best.
By far, whoever lands up in Minnesota. And I think it's going to be JJ, you know, so
just like Brock Purdy, right? You land on a really good team. And I'm not saying he's going to do what Brock Purdy does, but I'm saying, like, yes, Purdy is really good in his own right. Do not get that twisted, but he also landed in the best possible spot in the NFL.
But I do worry though that, like, we say that, but JJ's probably the worst person to be put in a position where he has to start early on. And I think that's what you may be in the best situation, but I mean, he needs it though too. So, like, I don't care if you are in a perfect situation or not, there's still a major jump from being a college quarterback to an NFL quarterback. And there's an even bigger jump when you had the season that you had or the seasons you've had at Michigan where you weren't asked to be the guy. At least the other quarterbacks had to put that burden on their backs to go out there and be the guy week in and week out. Like, Caleb had to be Superman. Jaden had to be Superman. Drake had to be Superman. JJ did not. And I don't care how good of an organization or team you're on, if you don't know how to handle that burden, I'm not saying he doesn't know how to do it, but we don't know if he can or not. We have no idea. I have no idea if JJ McCarthy can consistently shoulder the burden of being QB1 in the NFL. And you would say that about all the guys, but at least I've seen more of them having to be, once again, that Superman, at least at the college ranks, to wield their team to victories.
Well, then let's skip around in our document here. So you think JJ McCarthy has the biggest bust potential of anybody in the first round?
Unless you see Bo Nix go in the first round, which I still don't think Bo goes in the first round. I don't think Bo goes in the first round.
The Bo Nix disrespect.
If Bo does sneak his way into the first round, then I would say Bo has the best chance to be a flop. If it's not Bo, I'm honestly going to go Drake. I think
even landing in your spot in New England.
Yeah, even landing in my spot in New England. I like JJ. I think if you give JJ the time he needs.
Well, hold on. Timeout. Because now I'm fucking confused. Is JJ your biggest bust or do you like JJ? Which is
I like
it?
JJ. I like JJ.
So you're not, because that's when you started this. You said JJ is biggest bust unless Bo Nix gets in.
No.
But now you're actually saying biggest bust is Drake May.
I'm going to say Drake.
Okay. Even going to your New England Patriots that you just talked about. Yes. Bob Kraft and all that.
Yes.
Okay. So Drake May, the biggest bust potential. I agree with you that it's going to be a quarterback. I would maybe lean towards JJ for the reason you said, except that I think he's going to land in a great situation. I almost arrive at May by default. because I don't love the setting in New England. And he has maybe the most question marks out of the big three coming into the draft. So that would be my answer as well. Unless the Giants draft a quarterback, to be painfully clear, if the New York Giants draft a quarterback, that guy's going to be the biggest bust. Because that is a disaster of an organization.
Zach, have you seen Patrick Mahomes play quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that. And again, that's just a comp. That's not to say that that's who he is. Yes. But like, no. The one thing about Caleb is, and you'll hear like I've heard like a lot of like Chase Daniel and others talk about this, is like he was so good in college at times it almost looked like he got bored and he was just constantly trying to push the envelope. He just has to learn to maybe reel it in a little bit in the NFL if he wants to achieve the consistency.
Well, I talked about that with Jordan Palmer as well. You know, when he came on the show. And that's something that he brought up a little bit too, was you can be in an offense in a situation where the mentality is, you know, take the deep shot. I gotta hit the big ball because, you know, we don't have the team that can just dink and dunk. Where, I mean, if you watch Patrick and you watch the NFL, I mean, that is the majority of the offense. Just take completions.
Yeah.
So it is a rewiring of your mindset. And you know, I think I've said this on this show before. I mean, the biggest thing that really screwed me in the NFL was like, I didn't rewire my brain enough.
Yeah.
You know, my third year, I was trying to go in preseason, throw for 300 yards and three touchdowns and five series instead of just taking the checkdowns. And that's what Coach Reed told me. He's like, dude, like if you just would have done what you did in practice in the game, you would still be on the roster. Instead, you got greedy and you started to take, you know, shot after shot after shot. Like, and then that's something for all these guys. That's Caleb has to learn how to do that. Jaden, with all the success, we love the success of the deep ball. But these NFL defenses are they're bigger, they're faster, they're more complex. At the end of the day, man, it's all about taking completions.
It's actually the thing that I was most impressed with watching every throw from Arch Manning in the spring game is, you know, a lot of times, Aaron, we say, take what the defense is giving you. And we use that as like a kind of code word to say, just like, check it out. But he seemed to literally take what the defense was giving him, which meant check down sometimes intermediate, sometimes it was the deep ball. But what
which you're Carson, which right Carson there, did last year too. You remember all the Georgia fans that were pissed off with Carson Beck?
Yeah.
You know, cause all he was doing was just dinking and dunking. Go watch Aaron Rodgers tape.
Yeah. You know,
Aaron Rodgers is one of the best, if not the best of all time of knowing pre-snap, post-snap immediately, eliminate one and two and get to three. Hey, that linebacker got out of there. Like, why take three hitches to find my check down? If I know that number one's not going to be open, let me just find it right now. Take the completion and move down.
Ava Marzwani, if check downs are what matter most, Bo Nix might have the highest ceiling. The problem with the Bo Nix is
check downs. His was like swing routes.
Well, also though, the problem there is like, if I'm playing Bo Nix, I'm going to make him prove that he can beat me deep, right? Like I'm going to play shallow. I'm going to bring pressure. I'm going to go, man, and I'm going to try to make him prove that he can consistently put it over the top. And then if he can do that, well, then I'll show respect for it.
Yep.
But like that's the difference. You try to do that on Jay Daniels. We know he can go deep. We know Caleb Williams go deep. We know Drake May's got a rocket arm. Even JJ McCarthy has a good arm, even if we didn't see it quite as much as those others. Shit, we know Michael Penix can.
Yeah.
But so Aaron, you kind of hit on something interesting, which is we asked another question here in our show rundown, why running backs won't get drafted in the top two rounds this year. And one of the reasons why, and we all kind of know this, but the NFL meta has shifted and running back just doesn't matter as much. And it's because, well, and this is one reason, I have others as well, but, the thing is, it's like a running back can't be a game breaker because the position of running back can't keep up with quarterback. Like if I have a team with a great running back going to get a team with a great quarterback, the team with a great quarterback is going to win the majority of the time. And so why would I overcommit resources to featuring a running back when it's going to take away from the most important position in football? And instead of the running ball, if I have a great quarterback who nowadays completes 65 to 70% of his passes and takes completions, well, that's my running game right there. Mm-hmm. The 6 yards, the 4 yards, the 5 yards.
Yep.
And so it becomes a situation like if you have a great quarterback, you have to feature him, not the running back. So the position, regardless of the talent, the position is way down, and then they're hit with the the dual unfortunate consequence where also running backs, the top and the bottom just aren't that different from one another. The top quarterback and the bottom quarterback might as well be a fucking vast ocean of difference, an overwhelming difference. Whereas, I mean, look at last year's draft. Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs go in the first round, and they were okay. But Devon Achane, I mean, Devon Achane had more 100-yard games and nearly had as good overall, and he went in the sixth
round. I think last year's draft class is a little bit different because I do like those two running backs long-term. But I think those two are my elite. Point.
They're still, really good, yeah, but they still can't keep up with a great quarterback. They will never mean as much today, now as great. And so why commit resources there? Unless, look, every now and then, if you already have a great quarterback and you're trying to give him a weapon on a rookie deal for a few years and you're solid on the line and you like your DBs, like, I can understand every now and then you get comfortable enough where you're like, okay, we're going to go for this running back. But it takes an exact set of circumstances to make a team use one of those draft picks.
It takes a perfect guy, which I think Bijan last year was a perfect guy. I think Gibbs is that perfect guy that I would warrant a chance on a first rounder for that position. And obviously, well, the wear and tear.
The Falcons didn't have this, but the Lions had everything else, right? They had Goff. They had a great line. They had a great defense. So it's like, okay, now we can try to improve here on a rookie deal, get rid of Swift, and see what happens.
Yeah, 100%. And there isn't that breakout star in this year's draft. There isn't. There's a bunch of guys that, I mean, hell, if you even say from the top to the bottom or top to the middle of the draft, is there like a great separation of those players? Like, is there a big separation between, say, like a Jonathan Brooks and a Marshawn Lloyd at USC? And like, I don't see like this huge gap where why would I take Jonathan Brooks in the beginning of the second round where I could probably get Marshawn beginning of the third, if not fourth?
Yeah.
So like, and that kind of goes to the receiving position room too. Like, where obviously you will see plenty of receivers, and we'll get to it, plenty of receivers drafted early on the draft, but you may see a lull because when you get to tier two and three are pretty damn close. Like, tier one is elite for receivers, the Marvin, the Malik, the Adunze, like those guys deserve to be top 10. But then after that, you start getting the tier two, tier three. They're so close to each other that people would be rather wait around to get a guy in tier three, knowing that it's not that far off. And I think that's the problem with the running back room this year in general, is they're all pretty close to, like, to say Bucky Irvin, you can get Bucky in like the fourth or fifth round.
Well, pretty, and again, it's unfortunate for running back because some of it absolutely is just the talent of this group, like you're getting at. It is also inherent to the position and how football has evolved and how football is featured and how we think about the importance of throwing the ball versus running the ball. And it's, you know, this is just not the days of Emmitt Smith anymore. And so it's like, again, you can get a free agent guy that can do enough or basically do.
We see so many more teams that have two or three guys now. It's running back by committee. Everyone has their special talent that is game plan for, and that's what you have.
I mean, not that anybody should ever draft any make any decisions based on what the New York Giants do, but the Giants kind of told you everything you need to know about the running back position when they decided to pay Daniel Jones over Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You know, and look, it looks like a terrible decision, but they were panicking because, hey, if you even think you have a quarterback, you have to be willing to try to stick with him, which begs the question, Aaron Murray, how many quarterbacks will go in the first round on Thursday?
I think four go. I think your boy asked me this the other day. Hester asked me, you know, over under 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round. I'm going to go right there at the four number. So I'm going to take the under. I think Caleb goes. I think Jaden goes. I think Drake goes. And I do think JJ goes to Minnesota. I've said this for 7-8 months since even during the season. Bo Nix is a really good college quarterback. I think he's a mid-round NFL draft pick. I think to me, he's a third-round talent, which is still pretty damn good. You know, I think he'll go in the second. I don't think he'll go in the first. I think teams will shift through it and say, you know what, do we want to truly build and have an opportunity to win a championship with this guy? And I don't see it. So I think he drops to the second round. And obviously Michael, with some of the injury concerns, might drop. I think if one of them, if we were to get to five, I honestly would put my money on Michael Penix going before Bo Nix.
I mean, I would have to think it'd be easier to fall in love with Penix.
Yes.
In the first round, right? Like, yep. But here's where it gets scary. Four is a big number. I mean, even five, you know, five's a really big number.
You don't think four is a big number? Yeah, but when you go one, two, three, quarterback.
Sorry. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I think four is without a doubt going to happen.
Yep.
Maybe five. But what we have to engage in, think about this, Aaron. You're talking about five guys at one position in one round, and it's a position where there's maybe 15 guys on the planet that we deem playing at an acceptable level.
But
I'm just saying
if you want to win a championship, there's two ways to do it. You have a Patrick Mahomes, or you have a quarterback on a rookie roster that you can build elite talent around him. Those are the two ways to win a championship. So if you know that there isn't a Patrick Mahomes out there, you can get a guy like that. And there's only probably a handful of them. There's maybe four or five quarterbacks in the NFL right now that you could say that guy can go win a championship. If you don't have him, you're going to take more of a chance on a rookie and then build an elite roster around him. So, yes.
I'm just saying, if we're thinking about pushing into a fifth quarterback, if you're that team, you have to ask yourself, okay, first off, is Bo Nix really that guy? And secondly, do I really think that the guy who's rated fifth at his position coming out of Cosmo, maybe your own scouting has it scored differently, but do I really think that this fifth guy can be the guy when, again, there's 15 people on the planet that could be the guy? And that's maybe even being generous. I mean, how many fan bases in the NFL right now are truly happy with their quarterback?
But you probably have a better roster, though. You probably have a better roster. So why he may not be Caleb, you know, he may have better support around him where it can maybe mask some of the issues that guy has. I do think, you know, if I had to put it like, okay, someone won the trade up into the first round. And I know both these guys have played a lot of football. Bo has played a ton of football, has played more college football snaps than anyone in college football history. Michael Penix has played a lot of collegiate football as well.
Yeah.
So you know what you're getting. You know, this isn't a JJ McCarthy where there's still questions like, what is this guy going to be mentally and physically? It's a matter of now, do I just like their physical and mental traits to be my quarterback? But you can't tell me that an NFL team with what we just talked about, offenses pushing the ball vertically down the field, wouldn't say, hey, if we can keep Michael Penix Jr. healthy, that he couldn't come in there with some really good receivers and have success early on.
No, look, I agree, but I know it's just because I don't always understand what goes into these things. Is it just injury concerns with Penix? Because, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I watch him. I maybe this is unfair because you could say it's his best game. There's plenty of tape to pull from, but I mean, you watch the Oregon games, you watch the Texas game, and how do you think that's not a guy that can succeed on the NFL level? Because I like his mental makeup. He shows up in the biggest games. He consistently won it for 2 years. I'll put up mass stats. So, I mean, I guess he had a couple off days for whatever that's worth, but.
Yeah, I mean, we went through the stats during the season. There was a lull mid-season where he had multiple games where one game was in the rain. He threw like 48% completion. A couple games were like in the 50%.
Yeah. It was not good.
You know, I know it all bases on offense and what your offense is trying to do, but you know, Bo never had a game like that. And though his offense was different than what he threw, but you know, he didn't have games where he's throwing the 40 and 50. So I think there's a couple, those games too are part of the reason why, you know, Michael Penix Jr. didn't win the Heisman either.
It's actually probably the reason why he didn't win the Heisman. Otherwise he absolutely would have. Okay. So we think four quarterbacks get drafted on Thursday.
Yep.
Probably no running backs in the top two. Hey, rounds.
And I'll say this one last thing. Gun to my head, I'm taking Spencer Rattler over Bo Nix.
Yeah. I see you've been hanging out with the Chooch. Saw Austin Brooks tweeting that, South Carolina wasted, NFL level quarterback play the last couple of years.
I love when people say like wasted, like you're wasting something when you just don't have the resources to build a great roster. Like it is what it is. You know, you're lucky that you at least had him. I don't know if you can waste something when you don't really have an opportunity to build a Georgia.
No, I mean, look, Rattler's got to be the most exciting because he was on the, he was in the worst situation out of anybody that we're talking about, right? So he was constantly having to play almost like he was like playing up a grade, right? It's almost like he was like a freshman on varsity, whereas all these other guys were more like varsity members playing JV teams. I mean, it's the one thing that you could maybe come after Jaden Daniels for is like nobody had a greater supporting cast every single Saturday offensively than did Daniels. Okay, so no running backs up to around four quarterbacks. We think Daniels will go two overall to the Commies, and I think that's the best landing spot. You kind of think that Chicago and New England could be better. Who is the best wide receiver in this draft? Because, look, we know this. We know it's Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yep.
In my opinion, if you prefer one over the other, it is just that. It's opinion or taste, right? I don't think there's like an objective truth to be had there. Both are awesome. What I find interesting is that a lot of these, you know, barring some trade backs, we'll see. But there's a chance that you could have one of these ending up four to Arizona and one ending up going right behind him, or that might be five. But one to Arizona and then one to the Chargers. And I ask you this, if you're a wide receiver, where would you rather land? Would you rather land in Arizona or with the Los Angeles Chargers?
Oh, I'm definitely going with the Chargers. I think is another interesting thing is if the Chargers do get, you know, obviously they stay at number five, do they take a receiver? Or do you take Brock Bowers? You know, that's going to be an interesting debate of, you know, do you take the guy that can move around, was maybe the most dynamic player in college football for the past two seasons, or do you take the receiver? So that'll be obviously Harbaugh's first big decision there at number five. But I would obviously rather be in you know, with the Chargers. There's no doubt about it. You know, Justin Herbert is an absolute beast. I think you go to a place where you know that there's a quarterback that has elite potential. And, you know, Kyler just hasn't proved it to us at a consistent level there in Arizona. So, you know, if it's all said and done, I mean, the big winner probably is going to be Malik Nabers. Because I think, who would I choose if I'm Arizona and I'm picking a receiver? I'm picking Marvin Harrison Jr. I think both are top guys. I'd be happy with both. I think both are elite. Both are savvy enough to play the outside, play the inside, do a bevy of things. I just go to size. Marvin Harrison Jr. is 6'3", 209. Malik Nabers is 6', 200. I like a bigger receiver. You put two guys in the same room and they give me the same exact thing, I'm going to pick the guys a little bit bigger. It's a big man's game.
It's fair. It's hard to argue with. And again, I'm not going to, because I don't think there's an objective truth to be had between the two. I just think we could have a bit of a paradoxical situation where the guy drafted behind the other one could end up putting better stats up his rookie year because one may have Jonathan Gannon and Kyler Murray while the other has Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert.
Yep.
All right, look, if you want to do a couple questions to finish this finish show out, you can do hashtag ask snaps in the chat. What do we got here? We have
show flew by today, man. A little NFL talk already 45 minutes.
I know, and I got the migraine kicking up again. I don't know what the fuck's going on. Greg Hendricks says, exactly where is Bowers going? For what it's worth, we didn't get here, but we both independently arrived at Brock Bowers being the safest player in the draft.
Yeah.
In terms of where he's ending up,
I think all the skill guys is, I mean, quarterbacks are always a crapshoot. We've seen this for years now. I mean, hell, all of them could be a bust. But I do think that the safest to me are the receivers and Brock. Like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Brock Bowers, those three to me seem like for sure home runs.
I mean, I think so I agree. I think that for some reason, I don't know. I feel like being a like tight end, the path might be even easier for Bowers. And maybe it's because he was such an outlier on the college level.
Yep.
Like, you know, he is peerless, right? Like we talk about, you can talk about Harrison, you can talk about Neighbors, you talk about Odunze. And like you said, they're all in that tier together. If we were to tier tight ends, Brock Bowers has his own tier.
Yep.
Right. So it feels like he would, I mean, that he would trans and honestly, there's not as much pressure on a rookie tight end as a rookie number one receiver. if you want to know where guys are going to get drafted, ESPN Analytics has a draft day predictor. If you Google ESPN, it's very fun to play with, but they just, like, you know, they kind of hive mind everything and put in these nice little bar graphs. And Brock Bowers seems like a pretty heavy favorite to go to the Jets at 10, which at first you sound like, oh shit, if he goes to the Jets, he's going to bust out. But Aaron Rodgers with that weapon, like, Aaron Rodgers loves to take advantage of having a great tight end. You would think that Brock Bowers could be set up for a pretty huge year one.
All right. I do want to go to the chat. Jimmy Saxon asked, as snaps, you mentioned underrated quarterbacks. What about other underrated skill players that will be a steal in day two or three? I think you go to the receivers. You know, I talked about earlier, two and tier three for receivers is absolutely deep. I mean, you could get in the third round. I'm going to name a couple guys that are probably going to be second, third, if not fourth round guys. Possibly Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman, Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman from Florida State, Troy Franklin from Oregon, Roman Wilson from Michigan.
Yeah,
I mean, you're talking about five, like, really good day one receivers. Sorry,
did you say Ricky? Did you say Ricky Pearsall?
Ricky Pearsall as well from Florida. I think Ricky could be like fourth or fifth. But I mean, there's going to be a bevy of receivers third to fifth round that you're like, damn, like that's a massive get for that NFL team, and that guy has a chance to, you know, find his way into the rotation pretty early.
I mean, we were talking about it today on snaps from a New Orleans Saints perspective. You know, at 40 snaps, Jesus Christ, off the bench. At 45, I think that I feel like that's where the Saints need to go, because to your point, like, Keon Coleman may still be there. Ladd McConkey could potentially be there. And then all the other names that you just mentioned, like, there's just so much of them that you should be able to get high value at that position relatively later in this draft. Who would you take between Keon Coleman and Ladd McConkey?
Depends on the offense, but once again, I go to the size thing. I Keon Coleman, dude, he's a physical specimen. 6'3", 215. I mean, depends on what you need. I mean, Ladd, obviously, more that shifty slot receiver. So if I need that Julian Edelman, and I know it's white on white, so that's why I'm going with the comparison, I'm going with Ladd. But if I need a true X or Z receiver on the outside that can, you know, be that red zone thread and win some one-on-one balls, that's how I formate my offense, then I'll go with Keon Coleman. So it's kind of hard to compare the two because their games are very, very different. But I always lean to a bigger receiver.
So earlier in the chat, somebody said, rookie tight ends never show out as Brock Bowers really with the first round pick. Let's remember this about Kyle Pitts, because he was probably the last tight end that came out that had this much hype. Kyle Pitts got in a bad situation in Atlanta. But his rookie year, he had 68 grabs for 1,000 yards. Like he still went over 1,000 his rookie year. So no, Bowers with Aaron Rodgers could be really, really good.
Quick football question here. What happens first? Clemson, FSU get into the Power Two, or Mississippi State, South Carolina, or other bottom weight gets kicked out? Clemson, Florida State.
I don't think anybody's getting kicked out.
No.
I think college football has shown that they don't – there's an appetite to change things and to figure it out, but I think there's less of an appetite for the pure Super League than – we give credit to sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason why the 14-team playoff was agreed to so readily. And it's because it gave the super conferences inherent advantages in terms of revenue and playoff spots, but it still kept everybody in the fold.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's a rush to kick out the bottom dwellers. Hashtag ask snaps. Thoughts on the FSU ACC championship rings. Did you see this? FSU gave their team rings that say 13-0 and they say unconquered on them.
Nice. I like that.
I love it as well. I was shouted down this morning with my co-host saying that, well, they did get conquered. They got conquered by Georgia. I don't agree. I don't think that was that FSU team at all.
Nope.
I think FSU got fucked and then they didn't get to play in a playoff game. So instead they got to play in an exhibition game, and I don't count exhibition games. Mm-mm. Except when I want to for an argument. Yeah. And so 13-0. Yeah, look, to be honest, I think what they did was incredible this year, and I think they got fucked. And I got no – this is not Georgia, where you measure yourself in national championships. It's not LSU, where you even do that, or Alabama. It's FSU. a team that was always really good, but still only what, one natty in the Bowden era?
Yeah, I think only one.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the thing is, like, 13-0 in today's football, doing what they did, I have no problem with that being rewarded and for them getting rings for that.
Yep. Ask Snaps. Does Aaron like the Falcons or just indifferent? I grew up in Tampa, so I'm a Bucks fan. So no.
Bucks fan. Yeah. The Buck Boy Fade.
Buck Boy Fade. He's
calling it. A couple of weeks away from me.
Do you really think they're one of the best four teams?
I'm not getting into this argument. I don't know if we're not having this argument.
Go back again and watch an episode from December.
We're not having this argument again, dude. He cannot do it. Will Anderson was defensive rookie of the year. Seems likely Turner does pretty well. No. So I actually had Dallas Turner as my second safest pick, but I do think positionally rushing the passer in the NFL is a pretty massive leap compared to playing tight end. So that's the only thing, even though I think Turner's awesome.
Do they get some like good outside linebackers in this draft too? You want to talk about like a good position? The Latu kid from UCLA, Jared Versch from Florida State, Chop Robinson from Penn State. That's some good stuff right there. I would say, like, if you want to go defense, who do you feel good about? There's some pretty good defensive tackles too, like Byron Murphy. You know, that's someone that can get in there and play day one. I would say they're the top four or five DTs in the draft are pretty darn good too.
That's my biggest
question. Are you drafting a white corner?
Just how do they replace that? I mean, no, but let's see where he.
Do you think he goes in the first round?
Yeah, no, I think he does. I looked this up the other day. Hold on, let me find him on this list. Hold on 1 second. Talk.
Cooper DeJean.
According to the draft day predictor, he is one of the kind of wild card first round picks where there's no overwhelming favorite where he could get picked, but he is projected in that 17 to 32 range mostly. So he could slip into second round, but there's a very good chance that you'll see him picked around the mid 20s.
He's weird looking at a starting white cornerback in the NFL next year.
Yeah. Big win for us whiteys.
Yep.
For sure. Emil McClellan says Noah Fant, Hayden Hurst, OJ Howard, just a few of the names of the first round tight ends that didn't do much early on. I would agree with that, but the reason why I went to Kyle Pitts is because Kyle Pitts was an outlier in the same way that I feel like Brock Bowers is. Yeah. At the risk of disrespecting everybody you just named, I don't feel that they were as much of an outlier as Bowers is. T-Bob, who do you want the Saints to get? And Aaron, who do you want the Bucks to get? The Saints, I mean, I'm so deep in this woods on this shit. The Saints have to get an offensive tackle. So Fashanu from Penn State is a guy that they're looking at. And then at 45, again, I want him to go receiver and take advantage of some of the depth there.
Where are the Bucks at in the draft? Do they even have a first rounder? They're at 26. 26 is an interesting spot.
Actually, the team that Cooper DeJean is most mocked to?
Tampa?
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
There you go. Let's go.
From Iowa to Tampa, he's going to be like, did I just enter hell?
Does Baker need an offensive lineman? Baker needs an offensive lineman. Go get him an offensive lineman. There's a lot of OT tackles. Go get a tackle.
Ask Snaps, can you elaborate about what's so attractive about women dressed up as Ninja Turtles? Well, did you see the video? Oh, you weren't here yesterday, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Somebody sent me a video in the morning of some very thick women in full body paint and Ninja Turtle shells. Like they were painted like the Ninja Turtles. And it was very confusing. If you want me to elaborate what's so attractive, they just had massive curves.
Mm-hmm.
And I love heavy women. I just do. And turtle shells are popping. I can't. I got to go to Florida to do my brother's wedding. So, no. In fact, I think I'm going to be out Thursday, unfortunately.
I will be here, though. We will do a live show. I'm trying to think of someone that would be another good. We'll probably do a last minute draft show. Maybe we'll do like a mock draft, like our top 20. I'll find somebody to come in here, do it, have some fun. Bring your questions. We'll be very interactive. We'll see you on Thursday.
Do you think ESPN is going to mention Cooper DeJean being white when he's drafted?
I hope so.
I think so. Probably
should.
Ox in the shop says, "Ooh, when's the haircut coming?" So I'm supposed to, if it gets 100% confirmed, I'm supposed to go to Chicago for some work stuff. And then that's going to be like May 6th through 10. And then after that is when I'm planning on doing it. Fuck me. Hmm. All right. Love y'all. Sorry, it's been a couple weird days for your boy. I'll be back 100% hopefully when you see me next. But it's been a very fun snaps. As always, if you want to help with the show, like it, subscribe to it. Should have that audio back up and running soon. And we will see you next time on a brand new episode of Snaps.